Well, good morning, Restoration, and I can assure you it gets better than that. Listen, good morning. It is going to be a beautiful day at Restoration Community Church. I know it is pouring down rain, and it's like 41 degrees, but there is a day of celebration today. For if you've been here for like 9 years since Restoration's kind of been around, then today's a significant day. It'll kind of go down in the proverbial history record books at Restoration because we are celebrating new life in Jesus through baptism, not at the beach, which was a beautiful thing, but in our very own worship center, like this is the first time ever, so that is an evidence of God's grace and goodness to Restoration Community Church. Listen, if you're here today for the first time, maybe you're celebrating with family and friends baptism, maybe you're tuning in online today for the first time for that reason, and we've never met. My name's Adam, one of the pastors here at Restoration, and I'm grateful that you're here today. You've caught us on our final week of our current series, Selfless, which I'll get to in a minute. But I need to let you guys know of two big things going on next month here at Restoration Community Church. First, starts actually next week. It's a six-week series on marriage. Now, I say that for a couple reasons. Number one, the series is for this church. It's for Restoration Community Church. It's a series that's primarily a counseling series for marriage. Next week, we'll start. It'll be deep theology. What is marriage? Where did it come from? Why did God give it to us? What's the purpose? Next week, it'll be kind of deep. But then the last 5 weeks, very practical, right? We're talking counseling issues like how to forgive, how to resolve conflict, how to pursue our spouse, how to prioritize our marriage in the crazy world that we live in. And I can already hear some objections, or at least they're going through your mind if I can't hear them. I'm not married. Maybe. We'll talk about singleness and how that too is a gift from God. But at the same time, I have heard, even in my own circles, people getting married and remarried into their 70s and 80s. So you never know what God has for you, right? The other thing I would say is God has probably given you influence over someone or someones who is or will be married, and he's going to use you as an agent of grace. So next week's series is for everyone. The other thing I would say is just been my experience. There is Easter, there is Christmas Eve, and there is marriage series that we can use to leverage for the sake of loving our neighbor. Listen, it doesn't matter what you believe if you're married. If you don't believe in Jesus and you're married and someone knocks on your door and says, hey, listen, because of our relationship, I've been married 22 years, you know that Katie and I have to work real hard on our marriage. My pastor's teaching on marriage. Would you guys want to come worship with us? I'm telling you, like, everybody wants to lean into that no matter what they believe about Jesus. And what you and I know is that marriage, if it's a representation, it's a reflection of the gospel. So as I give a marriage series for 6 weeks, I'm actually teaching the gospel each of those 6 weeks. So I just want to encourage you to leverage that to love your neighbors and reach new people who might be in a season of hurt, struggle, or just trying to improve their marriage starting next week. The other thing I want you to put on your calendar, February 4th, our first ever, I got to be careful how I say this, father-daughter dance. Say that really fast, 5 times, and you say some stupid things. Father-daughter dance, February 4th. It's going to be a great opportunity for you, dads, and even granddads to bring your daughters here. Now, there are some age limits, like we're doing 4 to 10, so if you bring your 27-year-old daughter, it's going to be a little awkward, but at the same time, we'll welcome you, but I just want you to know, ages 4 to 10, dads, granddads, bring your daughters. We're going to use that as an opportunity to fellowship among our church, but also, again, to reach out to our neighbors right here in our community. We're going to go door-to-door and invite them to celebrate the month of love and to have a dad or granddad show their daughter some love. That's in February, but today we are finishing our series and celebrating new life in Jesus Christ in our Selfless series. If you're brand new to Restoration or if you're tuning in for the first time, we've been looking at this question. Do I have a selfie-centered faith in 2022? And see, the mission at Restoration, again, is to make and equip disciples of Jesus who love, lead, and serve. And the way we're going to go about that in 2022 is by loving thy neighbor. But the thing that will derail you and derail me and derail us before we even get started is having a selfie-centered faith. And so if you've missed it, I've been giving lots of stats on selfies, which I'm not going to do, but just to remind you, 93 million selfies are posted online every single day on this planet. I'm not going to call names or point fingers, but somewhere over there, somebody was taking a selfie right before service. Right? I thought it was very appropriate. I don't know who you are. Please don't hate me or get up, but I'm just saying it's like fourth or fifth row over there. Anyway, but I just want to say, listen, we live in a world where, man, it's all about self, right? And we said, listen, stand down. We said there's nothing wrong with selfies. It's not an amoral issue, nothing good, nothing bad. But if you peel that onion back a little bit, right? If you look at this whole, there he goes, he's out. No, I'm kidding, it wasn't him. I'm kidding. Man, I'm gonna get fired today. We live in this self-centered world where it's all about us, it's about self-promotion, and that bleeds over sometimes in our faith, and it bleeds over sometimes in our walk with Jesus. And we've been looking at this issue of self-centered faith. Think about this. For those of you who post selfies, this is true. Now, for those of you who don't post selfies, I'll come back to you in a minute. But when we post a selfie, when I take a picture of myself and I put it online, I am communicating something to somebody. Deliberately, right? Maybe I don't think about it like that. Maybe I actually don't think what I want to communicate to the world today. But when I take a selfie and I post something, right, I am communicating something to the world. Maybe it's this. Hey, I'm on vacation. Look at my family. We're on vacation this week. Go ahead and rob my house. It's all fine. Listen, maybe, right, maybe if you're a woman, right, if you're a woman, I guess it could be a dude too. Don't raise your hand. But if you're a woman and you're having a good hair day, you know, it's like, look at my hair. It's a good hair day. Low humidity. It's good, right? Maybe for you, it's like, I'm happy. I'm sad. Maybe for you, you post selfies like this. You know, your family's in the background. They're all smiling at one time, you know? And so we communicate to the world, we're one big happy family, we have no problems. You know what I mean? Like something is being communicated. And here's the reality. When you post a selfie, stay with me, you want people to associate that picture with some adjectives. Think about it, right? Beautiful, relaxed, on vacation. You know, you want some kind of adjective to be associated with that picture when you communicate that. Now, for those of you who don't post selfies, you too have adjectives that you want people to know you by. Like when your name is mentioned, when you're brought up in conversation, if you hear about that, you kind of lean in like, well, what'd they say? Well, what'd they say about me? What were they saying? You want certain adjectives associated with your name, right? I figured we probably ought to get to know each other. So what I'm going to do is we'll get a microphone and we'll start with you, right? And I'll just give you the microphone and you will just go on. No, we're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But the reality is we all have this. Now, I figured I should be vulnerable and I should be honest, right? As a pastor, I have these things. I have these adjectives and it's some are good, right? Like I want you to know I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm godly. Like I want those adjectives, but this is so embarrassing. I did in the first service too, and it's really lame and pathetic. But one of the things that I want associated with my name is I want to be known as strong and in shape. Now, I got to be honest with you. That comes from something a football coach said to me years ago. My grandmother said to me in my 20s. Like, there's just something that the power of words. And I know it sounds lame and pathetic, but I want to be known as strong and in shape. Even if you say this, well, for a pastor, you're pretty strong. Like, that's a win. I'll take it, right? I mean, that's a start. But I want to be known that way, right? Now, here's the reality. You have the same issues that I have. And there's adjectives that you want people to know you by because of your insecurities as well. And now, we all can agree on that. What happens when we don't measure up? What happens when I'm not being a good husband? What happens when I'm not being a good father? What happens when I'm not strong? You know what we do? We pretend. We pretend and we take selfies, right, of an instant to communicate, hey, I'm doing this in life. I'm crushing it in life. Here's what it is. And we start managing our image. And if we're not connected to other people, all of a sudden the only thing people know about you is an imaginary person. A person that doesn't really exist because we want to be, but we're not. We want to be, but we're not. Do you know where we pretend the most? Church. We pretend the most at church, right? And we do that on Sunday mornings, right? Listen, I'm not above you. I do it too, right? Because the reality is, at some level, we want each other to pretend, right? Listen, you ask somebody how you're doing on Sunday morning, you want them to say good, right? You want them to say good so you can go on and get your coffee, put some cream in it, right? You don't want to hear how bad their week is. You just don't want it. That's the reality. Listen, you don't want me to tell you all my junk, right? Imagine me saying this. You know what, guys? We're starting a brand new series on marriage next week. I'm really excited about it. But first, I need to say thank you to my wife who last night told me I had one more chance to get it right. Like, you don't want to hear that, right? You want me to pretend like everything's going well. Like you don't want me to start a message or a series on self-control and me say, listen, turn to Colossians. We're going to talk about self-control today. But first, let me thank my elder team who came to my rescue last night when I had one too many and couldn't find my car. You don't want that. You want this image of me that's safe. You want this image of me that's okay for Sunday morning. Now, here's the reality. What happens when I stay there? What happens to you when you pretend and I pretend to be this imaginary person? We don't grow. We get stuck. Now, I can talk about faith, but even if you're not a believer, you get stuck personally. But when we're engaged in relationship, And all of a sudden, I can be known and have real, authentic relationships. And you can have real, authentic relationships. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have to pretend. Now, all of a sudden, you found an environment where you can actually reveal, discuss, talk about who you are, what you're going through, and become who God wants you to be. I think what is true of all of us is we want to be known by something. Right? We want to be known as something. We want to be known by something. But what God has intended for us to do is be known by someone. Listen, as that rain pours down and as you work hard to kind of stay with me, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be today. For those of you that are new to this, Acts is in the New Testament, written by Luke, who's a doctor. And he's done this investigation of all the things that have happened in the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 is where I'm going to start. This is after Jesus went to the cross. This is after he died, rose again. This is after he ascended back up into heaven and he gave the Great Commission. This is after that. And I want you to imagine Peter has just preached the gospel. He's just preached the gospel to a bunch of Jews on the back of a pickup truck, right? He's there in Jerusalem. People are accepting. Listen, lean into this. They're listening to the message that they are sinners and that sin has separated them from God. But that God in his love has sent Jesus Christ to die for their sins, to pay the price for their sins on the cross, that he was buried, rose again. Now the Jews, some of the Jews at the time were very reluctant to this, but some believed. Some believed. Now watch what happened in verse 41. Check this out. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then, those who had received his word, the word of Peter, right, the gospel of Jesus, were baptized. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. I want you to watch the progression. The gospel's preached, the gospel's heard, the gospel's received and believed, and then they were baptized, right? That's pretty easy through that verse. Now watch this progression, verse 42. They, these new believers, these followers of Christ, these Christians, were continually devoting themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. In that context, that means communion. We'll come back to that maybe later. And to prayer. Here's what I want you to see. They, the followers of Christ, were devoted, but not to themselves individually. They were devoted to each other. I want to point out that word just for a second, devoted. As you enter 2022, as I enter 2022, left 2021 behind, the reality is I stand here today, you sit there today, devoted to something. Think about it. What are you devoted to? There's things that I'm devoted to. And I can tell you the things that I'm devoted to get done. The things that I'm devoted to get attention. The things that I'm devoted to get prioritized, no matter what they are, right? Whether it's being strong, like that gets devoted. That gets some time and attention, right? If it's being a good dad, it's getting some time and attention. If it's being a good husband, it gets some time and attention. I'm devoted to those things. And the question is, what else are we devoted to? Are we devoted to our relationship with Jesus in 2022? Because things like these spiritual disciplines and being together, they don't happen by accident. You know what I mean? These first century believers, they were real men that had real kids and real jobs. These first century women were real women who had kids, they had responsibilities, they had schedules, but they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, which was, they didn't have the Bible yet back then, right? So they were reading the Old Testament and listening to Peter and Paul, and they're devoted to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Watch this. As a result, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place of the apostles. And all the believers, watch this, were together and had all things in common. Verse 45, imagine this. And they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Are you getting a sense that there's a selfie-centered faith in this group of believers in the book of Acts? I'm not. I'm getting a sense that they were completely selfless in their faith. So much so that they're sitting in a home, they're hearing the word of God, maybe they're praying for each other, and somebody raised their hand and says, hey, listen, I got an issue. My son's sick, and I don't have enough money to go get medicine. And they say, time out on the Bible study, hold on the Bible study, hang on, no problem. We got this, pass the plate. And they start passing the plate, and maybe there's not enough, and they say, okay, no problem. Let me go to the market, I got some things I can sell. And they sell some things and they come back and they take care of that family. Could you imagine being part of that kind of community? Could you imagine being part of that kind of group of people that would display the glory of God and live out the gospel in that kind of way? Watch what happened because they did. Day by day, continue with one mind in the temple and breaking of bread. Now we're talking about meals. Now we're talking about actually having supper and dinner together from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. There was no one pretending. There was no one managing their image. There was no one trying to be somebody they weren't. They were just actually being sincere. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, not just the believers, all the people. Imagine how attractive a community is to other people that lives like this. Imagine how attractive it is if, let's just pretend my group of believers on Monte Santo Drive in Otrano. There's a group of us, right? They're on Monte Santo Drive, right in Otrano. Imagine we're living our lives out like this. Can you imagine how attractive that is to the guy peering through his window? Like, what is going on with that crazy group of followers of Christ? They're giving their money away. They're praying for each other. All of a sudden, this group of people had favor with all. Now watch. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Question. Does that reflect your life? Does that reflect my life? Is that a description of the way that I'm living my life amongst a group of believers to where I'm so selfless that I'm devoted to someone else? I'm so selfless that I'm actually doing life with each other. I'm so selfless that I'm actually giving my stuff away for the sake of their needs. Does that describe me? Does that describe us? I think there's some things that work against us. I was in seminary about 9 years ago getting ready to plant Restoration Community Church, and I was reading this book. I don't remember the name. I don't remember the author, but the whole premise was how our culture has changed. Our society has changed, and where we were more connected with one another years ago, now we're disconnected, right? He gave some examples. One of the examples was air conditioning being in homes. Now, some of you aren't old enough to remember this, right? But maybe your grandparents were, maybe your parents were. When there was no air conditions in somebody's home on a hot summer night in the South, where did you sit? You sat on the front porch, right? You sat on the front porch and you engaged with your neighbors and you talked and you had fellowship. But then air conditioning came around and introverts like me who hate being hot celebrated, right? All of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute, there's AC inside and I don't have to talk to anybody? See you losers later. I'm inside, and all of a sudden, listen, I become disconnected, and as a culture, we slowly start to become disconnected because, listen, we got technology. The other example he gave was detached garages versus attached garages. Like, remember the detached garage we'd pull in, and you'd have to walk outside, wave to your neighbor, and then walk inside your front door? Well, now, you know, you got your attached garage. You hit the button. You drive in. You don't dare get out of the car until you hit the button again and the door closes. Then you get out of the car because now you don't talk to anybody in the whole wide world. We're disconnected. He brought up privacy fences. He brought up a few other things. But the reality is our culture, listen, our culture pushes us to be independent. The whole American dream is about being independent. The gospel is not. As a follower of Jesus, we're called to be utterly dependent on him and to each other. Hey, right, listen, in 2021 and 2020, as you look in the rearview mirror, does that kind of reflect your life? Does that describe your life as utterly dependent on the power of God and utterly dependent on each other? Or independent? Listen, I'm telling you, independence results in disconnection from not only God, from the body of believers as well. I saw a satire on Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, kind of this article making sport of it as if it was 2022. And basically, I kind of rewrote some of it, right, to kind of put some context in 2020. So we're going to call this the New Revised Adam version of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Listen to this. It's a little exaggeration, but stay with me. The Christians in 2022, not at Restoration, I'm talking about other people, were devoted to themselves and occasionally got to church when they had time. No one was filled with awe and wonder because there was no signs and wonders performed by the believers. Very few of the believers were together and they had almost nothing in common because they had no real time for each other. If they sold something, they used the money to buy something better for themselves. This is me right here. I'm about to describe myself. I had to repent. They ate on the run, kept to themselves, and were too rushed to enjoy one another or give praise to God. They claimed to love God, but didn't really love each other, and they felt very empty and alone. As a result, most people disliked them, and very few people ever got saved. Now, that's a slight exaggeration, but my question is, as you think about the church in 2022, maybe not Restoration, but the Big C Church, I don't think it's that big of an exaggeration. I think as we look in the rearview mirror of life, it's not that big of an exaggeration as we look back and see our utter pursuit of independence of God and independence with each other. All right, I got 5 minutes left. I want to give you two things. I want to give you two things to think about. In 2022, could you, at Restoration Community Church, could you resolve to share and to show the love of Jesus? Two ways. First way, could we resolve to share and show the love of Jesus on Sunday mornings? Right, I mean, here's the reality, right? As we have this whole culture, and the bend is independence, the bend is to be isolated. Then you throw in a pandemic where we're made to quarantine, we're made to be isolated. Now we've fallen into different habits, and we've fallen into different rhythms. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, listen, this is important. Hebrews chapter 10 says, not to forsake the assembly of the believers. And then it goes on, as some have fallen into the habit of doing. And I know what the enemy says to some folks. Here's something else the Lord wants from you. Here's something else you're not doing right. Here's something else you're not checking the box. Here's some other way that you're failing as a follower of Christ. No. There's no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. No, listen to me. Your heavenly Father wants something for you. Here's the reality. This is real life testimony people have given to me. People who were connected to the body of believers and somehow got disconnected. Maybe life zigged and zagged, or maybe the pandemic happened and they became disconnected. Right? And then they came back. They got reconnected. Here's what they say almost every time. Man, I've missed this. Man, I've missed this. And this is the words they use. There's just something powerful about being together as opposed to being separate. And that's true. That's true. Listen, let me make it real. Let me make it real for you. At the Spurlock home, every now and then, almost every Friday night, really, we have family movie night. At the Spurlock home, that's kind of our night to just kind of be together as a family. We have family movie night. Now, I want you to imagine at 7 o'clock on Friday night, because we go to bed at 9, so at 7, we got to start the movie. So at 7 o'clock, right, 7 o'clock on Friday night, and it's a Netflix, right, and it's a Netflix movie, and so we log into our account. And I just want you to imagine my 9-year-old Titus has his iPad. He logs in, gets the movie up. Then Braden comes downstairs, and he has his phone, and he logs in. He's got Netflix up. And then my daughter, Emery, she's 14. She's got her iPad. She logs in. Katie comes downstairs. She's got her phone. I'm in the recliner. I got my device. And we're all about to watch the next Netflix movie. And one by one, Titus says, hey, Dad, I'm going to the playroom to watch the movie. And Braden says, yeah, I'm out. Goes to the bedroom, right? Emery goes to her bedroom to watch the movie. Katie's like, yeah, I'm actually just going to watch this in the bed. And I stay in the recliner. Family movie night. When I give you that scenario, every single one of us says, that's ridiculous. There's nothing family about that. You're all in separate places on the device. You're not relating to each other. And every single one of us in the room will be, Adam, that's an extreme, ridiculous example. And yet when it comes to worshiping as a family, worshiping as a body of believers, for some reason the enemy has convinced us that's okay. For some reason the enemy has convinced us that that's normal, that we can be separated, that we can do this right, online or in separate rooms or whatever. And listen, there's always exceptions, there's always stuff. I get it. I'm going to miss Sundays. I'm going to miss at least 6 this year, 7 this year. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying perfect attendance. What I'm saying is resolve in our heart to make it a priority. Resolve in our hearts to make a Sunday morning an opportunity to share and to show the love of Jesus, because there's power in the gathering. There's power in the gathering. The second thing I would say, and I got a few more minutes. Second thing I would say, y'all watching the timer. Second thing I would say is this. Would we resolve in 2022 to share and to show the love of Jesus in groups? In groups. You know, there's two messages that I preach almost every week or almost every year that are super unpopular. One is giving, and two is community groups. And listen, what I want you to do is exhale. Like, I want you to exhale. This is not a guilt trip. This is not manipulation. When it comes to managing our image, and when it comes to portraying something that we're not, you see, I can't get up here on Sunday mornings and really tell you why it's such a struggle for Katie and I, why we have to work so hard in our marriage. I can't tell you up here why Katie and I don't have all the answers to parenting, and we're struggling every day just like all the other parents in the room. I can't do it. And you can't dialogue with me about yours. But when I go to community group on Sunday afternoons, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my friends and they're talking to me, they know my issues. Like, they're praying for Katie and I, and I'm praying for them. I'm telling them how much difficult like parenting is, and my parents made it look easy, and now I'm raising my own children, and it's hard. And they know that, and I'm not lying, and there's nobody being pretentious. Like, it's in that environment where I can be real, and they can be real. There's no managing images. There's no pretending. There's authentic relationships in there. Watch. And as a result, we're all growing. I'm learning how to parent better from them. Every now and then, I'll throw something out there that actually works, and they're learning from each other, right? And we're doing marriage together. I'm telling you, there's something about it where our Heavenly Father says, it's not another to-do. It's not another checkbox. It's not to prove you're a good Christian. Our Heavenly Father says, no, I designed you this way. And I want something for you in community. I want you to experience authentic relationships, and I want you to grow in your faith as a result. And I want you to come to love me better as a result. I think all too often we buy the enemy's lies that it's just a part of legalism, that it's just part of one more thing to do. Can I be super honest with you? Gosh, you'll probably never come back. Do you know that some Sundays I despise community groups? Can I tell you that? Sometimes I power up first thing on Sunday morning. Like, I'm powered up. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm rocking and rolling. And then around 1:30 or 2, I can power down for just a second. Man, then 3:30 rolls around 4 o'clock. We got to power back up, you know, do it all over again. I'm thinking, Katie, no, don't make me go. She said, you have to. You're the pastor. You know? And so we go to community group, you know. And I'm telling you, that's a struggle for us. I'm not even exaggerating. It's real. But we get there. And every time we're there, I have never walked out and said, see, Katie, I told you we should have stayed at home. No, I'm so thankful I went because I was blessed. This is going to sound arrogant. I don't mean for it to look at it the right way. I was blessed, and I was actually blessed by being a blessing to other people. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a blessing sometimes just by being present, that me being there is a blessing, and you being there is a blessing to me. Do you understand? Like, sometimes we don't go to community group for you. Sometimes you're part of a community group for somebody else. Listen, it's those environments, not this environment, where we see real, authentic relationships start to foster, and as a result, God grows us closer to Him. Listen, I know this is a different kind of message on a different kind of day, but in Acts 2:41, they gave their life to Jesus. They were baptized, and as they were baptized, they moved into a different community, a new community of believers, and it was part of their life. It's who they were. My encouragement is, would you just consider, if you're not already, would you just consider being part of a community group, being part of a huddle if your schedule allows? Listen, I'm going to say this and get in trouble. It's okay. You can send me an email. I'll just forward it to Pastor Joe. Listen, here's reality. Sometimes if we are not part of a group, it's the most selfish thing we can do spiritually. And that's on both ends of the stick. If you get so spiritual and so educated and so, I know the word, I don't need to go to community groups, I know it. Man, selfish, selfie-centered faith. It's not about you. It's about blessing other people. Or if you're like, well, hey, listen, I didn't get anything out of it last time I went. It was that awkward group leader, and that one person was in the group, and they dominated the whole time. I get it, man. I get it. Would you just die to self, take up your cross, go and trust your Heavenly Father that He has something for you? Let me pray for us. Lord, I love You. I thank You for the gift of grace. And I thank You for salvation through Jesus. Lord, I pray today that if there's anyone here who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, that today would be the day they trust You as their Lord and Savior. They confess their sins, repent of their sins. And Lord, that maybe they would even move forward in believer's baptism today, right now. Lord, I also thank You for the gift of community. Lord, I thank You that You have saved us from ourselves, saved us to the mission of God, and saved us to a new community. A new community of like-minded believers, Lord, who push each other closer to You. Lord, I pray that in 2022, Your church right here at Restoration, Lord, would begin to understand the significance and the blessing that comes with being devoted to each other as we're devoted to You. Lord, I pray You would have Your way with Restoration in 2022, and that as a result of us resolving and committing to being part of a community, Lord, that the community outside would look in our windows and say, I want that. And we could point them to You. But we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, it is a special day here at Restoration Community Church. If I could you grab the insulator off? I appreciate it very much. Listen, for those of you who are brand new to Restoration Community Church, I need to explain what's about to happen, right? Because I know sometimes in a crowd this size, we come from different backgrounds, and baptism means different things to different people. At Restoration, what we believe, thank you, Christian. What a servant, Christian. Listen, at Restoration Community Church, what we believe is that baptism is a symbol. It's an outward symbol of an inward decision that we've made. So at Restoration, based off of Ephesians chapter 2, what we see is that we're born, listen, this is important. All of us are born out of the womb, not children of God. We're not. We're God's creation. But in Ephesians chapter 2, we see we're actually born children of wrath. But God, in his mercy and his grace, sends Jesus Christ to die for us. And when we give our lives to him based on that belief in him, now we're adopted as sons and daughters of the King. Today, I get the privilege of baptizing a few people who are coming forward to say, hey, listen, I am now dying to self, and I am now following Jesus. And today will be a day of celebration. Listen, as I get in here and as the first person, Mr. Robbie, if you want to come and join me, be very careful. I want to open this up to anybody and everybody. So water dries is what I always tell my nine-year-old. I have a nine-year-old, Titus, and we're brushing hair in the mornings, and water's all over his clothes. Say, hey, water dries. Man, water dries. Dry it up. It's fine. I just want to encourage you, if you've accepted Christ and not moved forward yet in believer's baptism, today's a great day. The water's almost warm, and water dries. So, Robbie, if you'd come on in. Robbie Martin is someone that I have got to know a little bit over the last couple weeks, months, I guess it is now. You can step on down. Robbie, he's got a great story and really a great friend, and a young man by the name of Justin Connor. I don't know if you guys know him, but he has poured into Robbie. Justin has showed Robbie what it looks like to follow Jesus, and has given Robbie the opportunity to believe in Jesus for himself. And so Robbie Martin's coming forward from New York, right, New York. He is here, it's where he lives now, but he wants you to know, he wants Restoration Community Church to know that he's given his life to Jesus. He's given his life to Jesus, and he wants to celebrate with his church family. And so Robbie, based off what you've told me, you've told me that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again, that you want to trust him and follow him. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Robbie, with that being said, and based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Love it, man. Proud of it. Proud of it. Yeah. Careful. Andy, come on in. Andy, I am right in front of like 150 people or 200 people, and when that happens sometimes, I get brain fog. Andy, will you tell everybody your last name?
It's Sullivan.
Sullivan. Andy Sullivan is coming to you, and Andy has professed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he wants to move forward in believer's baptism as well. And so, Andy, I want to make sure you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you want to follow him. All right, Andy, based on your profession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Proud of you, Andy. Proud of you. Maddox, come on up. Hey, why Maddox is coming, I'm serious. If anybody else does want to be baptized, today's as good of a day as any. This is Maddox Marlowe, everyone. And Maddox, you came to me on Christmas Eve. See, it's almost warm. You came to me on Christmas Eve when our candles were melting and burning our hands off. Remember that? Right? And he came to me in the middle of that last song, and he said, listen, he had talked to his mom and dad, and his mom and dad had been making disciples at home. And Maddox believes, tell me if I'm wrong, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and rose again. You believe that? Maddox understands his need for a Savior. And today he wants to come before his church family and say he wants to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Maddox, based on your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. I'm proud of you, bud. Proud of you. Amen. Hey, guys, I don't know about you, but if you'll stand to your feet, that's reason to celebrate. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, we got one more. No, Stacy, I'm sorry. This is awesome. Thomas, come on in. Beautiful. All right, Thomas, I'm glad you decided to do this, buddy. Can you stand on that?
Yes, I can.
You got it? All right, stand right there. All right. Thomas. Thomas and I have known each other for a long time. Thomas and I had a great conversation before service. His mom, too, is making disciples of Jesus at home. So, Charity, I'm proud of you for this, right? I know this is hard. There's a lot of hard work, a lot of hard conversations. Thomas, you told me earlier that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, right? You believe that he was put in a tomb and that he rose again and one day he's coming back, right? You told me you believe that? And he first told me he didn't want to get baptized today. He's going to wait. But apparently the Lord is moving into Thomas's heart. So today I want to celebrate. And so, Thomas, it is my honor, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Hey, come here. I got you. You okay? All right, Mr. Christian's got a towel for you. All right. That's awesome. Now that's reason to celebrate. Amen.